Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
We are here live at KUCI. You are listening to Get Notified, the show where we talk about all things social media. And I'm excited today because we have not only three guests, but we have two people in here that are filming us. And I didn't even let our guests know that we were going to be filming. That is because here we're all about authenticity. And if you learn anything about anything when it comes to social media, it's got to be authentic. We have a very authentic show today talking about social media when it comes to nonprofits. And because we have so many guests here, I am going to, let's popcorn to the person in the green jacket. Oh, no, wait, there's two of them.
Color coordinated.
Okay, so we have three lovely ladies here who, two of them are UCI alumni, which is
Zot,
cool.
Zot.
You've got to speak into the mic if you're going to talk.
Zot.
Awesome. Since you talk first, how about you introduce yourself, give a shameless plug to the amazing Think Together that you work with, and then we're going to have fun today, I'm pretty sure.
Let's hope.
Let's hope Alliance that it's going to work.
Nice.
So that's your dedicated mic, so you can turn it to you.
Okay.
And then we'll share mic three between the other two.
Perfect. Well, good morning. I'm Tracy Carmichael. I'm Chief Engagement Officer at Think Together. Think Together is all about building equal opportunities for students to realize their full passion and potential. A lot of the programs we offer are all outside the school day, educational support services before school, after school, any and everything the students need, working with the schools to create those opportunities. So I'm very proud to be here and happy to shamelessly plug the work of Think Together.
How do we find you on social media and or your organization?
So Think Together, you can find it on Facebook, at Think Together on Instagram, same with Twitter. Think Together is the tagline for everything.
And I'm not going to get everybody to spell that because I think that we've got that.
Yes.
You're so punny, Ryan.
So punny this morning because I've had about a fourth of my tall grande. No, just tall. Tall Americano, and it's hot, but
does
it's good.
Does Starbucks give you free coffee for saying that?
Not yet.
You
Starbucks. Hashtag Starbucks. I was making a joke because it's $5 regardless right. When you get in there. Okay, next in line.
All right. I am Nicole Sudam. I'm the CEO for the Second Harvest Food Bank of Orange County, and our mission is to end hunger in Orange County. And that is a big mission because there are 335,000 people who are at risk of hunger in our community.
And I was just listening to your vodcast that you're doing with the Office of the Vice Provost in conjunction with the Blum Center and a few other awesome partners. And you were saying that one out of five children are food insecure, which is the PC way of saying that they're not getting enough to eat.
Right. So that is actually mirrors the national statistics. So one in five children nationally are also considered food insecure.
You got that, Orange County? You may think you're affluent, but we have a lot of empty stomachs out there.
Exactly. It's a hidden problem, but we're getting the word out.
All right. And then how about a friend?
Oh, yes. Thank you. My name is Jennifer Friend. I am the CEO of Project Hope Alliance, and we are here in Orange County now. We're committed to ending the cycle of homelessness one child at a time. We have been fortunate to end homelessness today for over 700 children and their parents since 2012, and we're ending homelessness tomorrow by making sure that the over 26,000 homeless students in Orange County alone have the educational supports, opportunities, and tools that they need to not be homeless when they're adults. So we're very proud to be partnering with UCI and incredibly grateful for the support that Tracy and my alum has really given to our voices to be able to speak for the kids.
Yeah, and you were talking about solving the problem today and tomorrow, but the best time to solve all these problems is yesterday.
Yes.
One thing that I listened to on your podcast, which I really like, is that the children aren't the problem, they are the solution. Mm-hmm. And we're all kids at one point, and hopefully we are all kids to some extent now so that we don't live these old people lives and forget about what's going on. But you've got to have a place to stay. You've got to be overeducated at this point with the market that it is. And you've got to have food in your belly because it stifles the development at an early age. But today we're talking about how we can feed basically all of these organizations through social media.
Right.
And I'm curious to hear from you about your strategy, because when it comes to social media and nonprofits, you can create burnout and you can over ask and you can say, give me, give me, give me, give me, and people just burn out on it. I think that a lot of our listeners are most likely on the receiving end, where they're getting another Indiegogo campaign and then another Kickstarter and then, hey, it's this awareness month and then it's another awareness month, and they might unlike you, but we all like you, so maybe we can start in the same as the introduction over here, because I think that from an after-school program, Think Together, it's been on my radar for a long time. I knew Tim, who's now over at the UCI Applied Innovation, which we're doing a tour of afterwards. The Cove. If you don't know about The Cove, it's a $5 million investment for a massive amount of space that is the Innovation Center. And I believe their goal was to become the hub of entrepreneurship and innovation. And I think they're doing a good job. So they stole Tim, but it's good for Think Together, because they were thinking and they got a perfect person in the front seat. And you are the engagement officer. How much does your job have to do with social media engagement?
There, I mean, we have a full-time staff member dedicated to just that. We're in a unique space where we started almost 20 years ago. We're about to celebrate our 20th anniversary this upcoming spring. We're in a unique space generationally. A lot of the founding members of our board and people that were there in the very beginning are not as involved in social media. So we're in this weird kind of lingo area right now, I'd say. We're working really hard to up the social media awareness with the new and upcoming generations, aka millennials. So we're working hard on that and trying to develop, you know, you talked about strategy, having a strategy behind when we do that so we don't get that burnout. I think we've learned that a couple times the hard way.
Do you have a strategy, or is that something you're working towards?
We do. We do right now. Yes. I think we need a higher level one. So we have one for the next year, 2 years. Okay. I think we need to think even 10 years out, and strategy being as simple as when to push it out and why it makes sense to do it then.
Yeah. One of my favorite memes in the world is Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
And he's got his little Gene Wilder face on, like, you know, he's just peering into your soul.
Yeah.
And it says, social media without a strategy? How's that working out for you?
Yep.
And so many people think that it's this, that they can bridge the gap by hiring a millennial to just sit in front of a computer.
Yep.
But I'm always a big fan of saying you have to have a strategy for someone to implement. Millennials are good at social media because it's part of their DNA, but it doesn't mean they're good at strategy.
Right.
From the top level, I love that you guys are looking forward to some extent. It is a challenge. What are the platforms that are working for you guys right now?
Right now, it's Facebook and Instagram with the highest hits. I think we need to do a lot of awareness or tutorials even on Twitter.
Hashtag Twitter tutorial.
Yep. There you go. So that would be my next step in that strategy. But, you know, even bigger than that is, how do you generate the buzz to drive people to your sites? Because we get all the likes we can from the people that we know like us already.
Yeah,
but that
makes
really
sense.
Doesn't tell
they
us
like
much.
You, so
yeah, I could tell you the first 20 people that are going to like every post.
Yeah.
But I want those 5,000 more that didn't know about us before that. So that's the bigger challenge.
I had a guest who teaches here, Valerie Shepherd. She's an amazing woman. I'd love to connect you with her. And she talks about the fact that people like you because they love you, and it's hard to get someone to love you, and it seems like it's easy to get them to like you. As you were saying, the first 20 people you know, it's that firecracker, everybody, they probably don't even
my
read
mother.
It. Yeah.
right.
They don't even read it, right? They're just like, they just hit it because they know that they want to support you. So the question of the day here is, how do we get people to love you online so that they like you? And I think that's interesting. If you just ask for a like, it's maybe like being very bad at picking up on somebody at the bar and there's not a relationship. And for nonprofits, you are building a relationship.
Absolutely.
How do you help build a relationship with something? I mean, hunger is something that people are aware of, but it's sort of distant.
It's, I mean, we're really using social media to, excuse me, to tell the story about the mission. So we use it to share client stories or to share facts, because some of the facts are so startling that sort of shocks you when you see them. The other aspect that we're looking at is trying to find, you know, we have a lot of volunteers. We have thousands of people that volunteer with us, and so many of those volunteers are our best ambassadors. So we're looking for like a core group of volunteers who could actually be pushing out some of our shares and getting other people interested
in
us.
Creating an army of supporters.
Exactly. So it's really like social media ambassadors. So that's one of the key strategies that we're working on this year. So it's not just us, but we have this amazing army of volunteers that, you know, give their time, and they can be, you know, sharing and pushing out some of our
actual posts that we want to get out versus just Second Harvest.
I think this is an interesting point. We talk about this every once in a while. I'm going to throw you under the bus, Nicole,
Uh-oh.
Just for a second.
Uh-oh.
What is the difference between likable and shareable content? Because oftentimes we talk about, we just want people to share it. We have thousands of people. Hopefully they'll like it or share it. To you, what is the difference between likable and shareable?
Well, I think for us, it's when they're sharing something, they're so passionate about it that they not only share it, but they comment. They're actually putting their own post, you know, on that share, that they're personalizing it.
Right.
And so for me, that's when I know that, you know, we've been successful, when people are sharing it and also mm-hmm. adding their own commentary in the post. I feel like that's gold.
Yes, you have hit the target. When it comes to liking, what do you think? What is the difference? If somebody likes it but doesn't share it, what is missing maybe? What is the missing part of the equation in the
they're not as excited about it, clearly. Because I've definitely seen some of our posts. I think we had a lot going on during the month of September because that was Hunger Action Month. And there were some posts that obviously struck a chord where they got shared, you know, 5 to 10 times, you know, a lot more than normally we would have.
Right.
And I thought, okay, that clearly struck a chord. Learning what posts are going to make the most impact. I think we're still really learning. I mean, this is such an emerging area.
And we're all learning, really, at the end of the day, because it's an emerging platform.
Right.
So here's my 3 cents, because 3 is my favorite number, because I know that you're all educated, but I want to make sure you know how to count. It's 1, 2, 3, many. In Spanish, uno, dos, tres, mm-hmm. mucho. In French, un, deux, trois, beaucoup. And I'm not going to go past 3 languages because it's 3. I've done a lot of research, and I love this topic of likable versus shareable. And what I've found as a common thread is that somebody will share something if it is their voice, if it's mm-hmm. something that they would feel comfortable mm-hmm. putting on their timeline.
Right.
Because when you share something, mm-hmm. it goes in your timeline. So if you're into, you know, like punk rock, you're not going to share a country music. But you might like it. If it's something that you like. So people can still be engaged. And this is something I always encourage people to do, is to look at what people are already saying in their timelines.
Right.
And then you can match or create that same voice. Are they using the same vernacular? Is it a short post that is a long post? And liking sometimes is polarized. It's funny, but you would not want to put that meme on your thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So when we're thinking about these posts, just a little bit of an insight, which I found, just, it's not me, it's just seeing, when you're looking for things that you want to ideally both like, have people like and share and comment on, it's got to match the voice, which is an interesting concept.
Well, I'm finding now too, with at least with Facebook, where you can, you know, put the other types of, you know, love or wow or, you know,
the different emotions,
yeah,
right?
The emotions.
Wow, the crying, the shock,
so
instead of just a like.
I find that really interesting too, because I'm using that more, you know, when something touches me. But I'm only going to share, you're right, I'm only going to share something personally that I really believe mm-hmm. in, and that, you know, I don't mind if people see it.
Because when I go and look at your feed, I don't really notice, I don't look and see if you shared it. I just sort of scroll through and I see this continuity. So that's a good point to think of. If you want something to just be liked, that's maybe the polarized post. It's something that might be political or it might be out of the line, and I don't want it in my timeline, but I'll sort of like it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it's all about the story. I have a friend, Sarah Gabby, and she's a marketing guru, and she talks about nobody buys your product, they buy your story. And there's nothing more true than that when it comes to nonprofit. So Jennifer, how do people buy your story online, and what's working for you? Now, this is a judgment-free zone, because hopefully this is going to make us all more engaged online. And when I throw somebody under the bus, it is in the nicest way. It's like a Tyco bus with bubbly tires that maybe my 2-year-old nephew would use.
Yeah, you were very gentle. Thank you.
Okay, good.
So that's an interesting question, because you know my story, and so do the ladies in here. But my story is that I was a homeless kid growing up in Orange County. And then I went on to be a lawyer and then volunteer at Project Hope, and ultimately left my law firm partnership to come to be the CEO of Project Hope Alliance. And so it was very interesting, because it was a story that I hadn't shared until I was 42. And actually, this campus was the catalyst for that. It produced a multimedia art piece that replicated the motel room that family of 6 and I lived in at one point for 8 months. And so I had brought the media in to tell the story of what happens when the university partners with a nonprofit and the business community to bring a story to an issue, a social issue that we're trying to activate our community to solve. And so I wanted to talk about how innovation cross-sector actually allows for a very powerful story to be told that could not be told without that triangular partnership.
And that creates authenticity at the end of the day, too.
Right.
Because you can have a story and you can be someone who is a white, rich male talking about the suffering of someone else that you're pretending to have compassion for, but it's more disingenuous than maybe the person that actually went through those struggles. And I had a guest on here, Zoe, and we talked about compassion. And I learned that the root was actually about, part of it was suffering, right? It's about sharing suffering. And I think that if anybody's out there in a position that you have this sort of heartfelt, gut-wrenching, this is my purpose, or I've experienced something I want to give back and I want to help, tell us about the power of sharing that story, because there's other people out there that are way past 40 that have not shared something because maybe they're ashamed of it. And I think that social media sometimes seems to have this facade of phoniness, and everybody's got to look great, and everybody's got to look good. That's why I had the cameras come in without telling you, because you know. I bet you everybody has something that has happened to them. Mine, I got bullied big time as a freckled ginger, and it led me to really, like, that's what launched my speaking passion, is to speak. I was speaking at elementary schools, and that's where I wrote my first book, and then high schools, and it just, I became passionate about that, and that's part of what I am. When telling a story on social media, for you, you are the archetype here, somebody who came out and said, this is what happened, and this is why this is so authentic. How important is that as part of a story for everybody, whether it's a nonprofit or the company that they're starting because they want to solve some sort of problem?
Well, I mean, it's critical, because I didn't come up with the start with the why theory. Simon did. But as you said, people buy your story. They don't buy your product. And unless they have the ability to personally connect with what it is that you're doing, they're not activated to be a part of it. And that personal connection doesn't necessarily have to come from a place of personal experience, but if it comes from a place of personal empathy, it's incredibly powerful. So in my case, I'll be really candid. I had absolutely no plans to share my story that day when I was on UCI campus meeting with Greg Hardesty to talk about this art piece. In fact, I had one of my motivating factors to create this art piece was to eliminate a specific individual from having to tell their story by bringing the story in a way that is a shame-free vulnerability zone.
An arm's length distance of sharing.
Right. Because oftentimes in the nonprofit sector, we can almost sacrifice the storyteller in order to raise funds to meet the mission to solve the story we're telling.
Wow, that is a very, and I love how you said it slowly, which meant you were really thinking about it. And in general, everybody should slow down when they talk, but that was powerful. That resonated. In the nonprofit world, sometimes you sacrifice someone and their story in order to meet the mission or the goal that you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And in a very bad analogy, the terrible puppy commercial that I hate, because they're sacrificing these puppies that are, you're filming the puppy,
right?
Feed the puppy if you're filming him, but they're trying to get you to feed them. And so how do you deal with that? Because that's touchy. You are on social media sharing personal stories, and that's where
I think you find the champion. So I think at that point, that day, sitting on the bed in that motel piece, to be super candid, I felt that God gave me that story because I was the one who was supposed to tell it.
Right.
And maybe if I told that story, then the other 32,000 homeless kids at the time in Orange County didn't need to tell the story, and the parents didn't need to tell the story. And so we rally champions, and we really, as you said, we recognize the impact of the story. So that story ended up on the front page of the Register. I ended up leaving my partnership and coming over to Project Hope within a year's time. We went from serving because of this community's response to the story, not because of me.
Sure. No, you were the champion. It was the catalyst.
Yeah. But we went from serving one school and 65 kids to now we're in 26 cities serving over 350 kids in our education program that attend 90 different schools. And we're working on national policy systems change and how to serve and meet the needs of homeless students in America. So I only offer that to say that there is power in a story and that people do, they get involved because they believe in your why. And whether and the why is always related to someone's story. And it does have to be authentic because people have visceral gut, like that puppy commercial. And we saw in media campaigns in the 80s dealing with Ethiopia, starvation amongst children. I mean, that's not, you don't sacrifice the storyteller.
And what's really interesting, and Nicole, I want you to chirp in here because you obviously have something to say within this. I always like to say a lot of online strategy starts offline. And absolutely. This is like life. This is real real things that happen in life. And then using social media as a tool to share that. Millennials these days and the new revolution of entrepreneurship, there's a lot of worthy cause associations. And I want them to listen to this because it's not just about saying, you buy this and I'm going to buy a pair of shoes for this sickly kid in Ethiopia. But it's got to come from a more genuine spot. So
yeah, I would say our number one job as nonprofit leaders is to build trust, you know, with the people who are, you know, supporting us. So the story may attract somebody, but then the job to actually engage them and provide good stewardship and show your impact. Otherwise, you're going to lose those contributors and those supporters. So I think, you know, trust is at the heart of all of this. And I think, you know, some people have lost trust in nonprofits because, you know, they've seen scandals or they've seen other things. So we have a really big job to make sure that once that story is told and people are excited and inspired to be part of that organization, that we build the trust because that ultimately is what's going to sustain the organization.
Now, Tracy, you're dealing with something that's a bit challenging because you're dealing with after-school programming. Right. And to some extent, if I'm somebody who is not very nice, I'd be like, well, they've already got school. What do you have to do with that afterwards? And all three of your causes tie in so well together because there's children that don't have houses or homes that are going to school, which are malnutrition, which don't get the right support they need in classroom, maybe because even a language barrier or a cultural barrier. So how do you find the challenge of finding, is it one story or is it multiple stories? Because you could do story overload at the same time.
Right. You know, and we battle that, to be honest. And as communicators of these stories, it's very challenging when you live it every day and you work so passionately to say it clearly. We struggle all the time and we've been struggling for years to land on the story or the message, and we're constantly evolving that. So it's hard. I also think too, there's so many complex issues in the educational system, and a lot of people have a lot of varying opinions about it. And we partner directly with schools.
Well, at least there's no bureaucracy and there's no government relations involved.
Things get done quickly and efficiently.
Yeah. Oh yeah, timely.
Yeah, you know, so we balance that political tide as well as we kind of write it out. So being able to communicate the need, and to be honest, it's hard. I think everyone has an opinion about schools because almost everybody went to school at some point in their life, right? But being able to pinpoint for people that didn't go through the same life struggles, the importance of that space, you know, everything outside of school is such a unique opportunity to learn and to keep them engaged in their own learning and pursuing success in life. People take for granted what they have growing up. And so being able to pull them into that for a second to kind of spark that passion is a challenge, to be frank.
Social media is a relatively new phenomenon. Don't ask me to spell phenomenon. But I did go to school.
Yep.
What are some of the things that people did prior to social media? Because I always find that if you search back, you know, people go, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Well, pretend like you don't have it. What would you do? Because social media is a tool for amplification.
Phone calls.
Yeah.
All right, everybody's grabbing the mic. All right, Nicole, what you got?
Well, I've been in the nonprofit sector for 20 years. So I remember before we had the web.
That interweb.
So, yeah, exactly. So
it was all about personal, you know, relationship, picking up the phone, meeting with people. I think our best tool for at Second Harvest is to give people an on-site tour, you know, people coming in and actually seeing how we operate and how we work. And we actually host the motel room that Jennifer was referring to as part of that tour experience. It's really that personal one-on-one relationship. And so we do have to remember that social media is one tool in the toolbox. It's not, you know, the only way we should be communicating.
It's not a Leatherman.
Right.
No. And one thing, it's been, I didn't even think of it. I'm a nerd, but I don't like technology very much. So forcing myself to get engaged in this whole thing. And
it's okay, because we actually cater to people who love social media, want to get better, for people that hate social media altogether, and people who are scared for it. So there are people just like you out there. Yeah. That you are now the champion.
I am not alone.
You are now the champion of the Get Notified nonprofit, which I'm going to launch after the show.
So as the champion, I tell you that one of the coolest things that has happened, I didn't even anticipate, is that Project Hope has come onto the national platform in a way with partners coming to know us because of social media, mm-hmm. that are now not only potential and now investors, but they are very strategic systems-wide partners that there's no way I ever would get in front of someone who is over in DC writing policy on different things. But because, you know, America's Promise put us in a report done by Civic Enterprises and tweeted it out, now all of a sudden people are starting to follow us. Right. And then when we tweet it, then other people are picking it up. And then I can get on the phone and I can say, you know, hi, I noticed that you reached out to us. I'd love to talk to you about some thoughts that I have of how we can partner together. And so it's become this very interesting introduction, but they've already vetted us before they have decided to follow us or reach out. So it's not just like a blind date. It's like someone who didn't swipe left or right or upside or whatever that is. It's been a tremendous introduction tool that's led to some real strategic partners.
So the question was, what would you do without social media? And your answer is, what we used to do is what we still do, which is building relationships. And it sounds like this example you gave about Twitter, you would have not been able to build a relationship as quickly without the social media. I mean, you would have still been pounding the phones, but I love the fact that you got on the phone. You mm-hmm. actually talked with a person. You just didn't have a banter back and forth. For those of you that are tweeters out there, what is your Twitter so they can check you out?
Project Hope Alliance.
Let's do a quick shameless plug for Twitter. Okay. Project Hope Alliance.
Yes.
And
Think Together.
Yep, and Nicole, I'm not going to let them know that you're trying to search for
it. I'm searching for it right now.
I'm going to verify it too, real quick.
Ours is Second Harvest FB.
Second Harvest FB?
FB, Food Bank.
Food Bank, okay.
Second Harvest FB.
And everybody else is double checking.
at Project Hope Alliance. Wait, no, that's what I said last time. Ask a lawyer question.
This is a really good point. Now, as you ladies figure this out, this is actually a classic. I'm going to take a photo here of you, and I'm going to tweet this out. This is called Twitter verification, but not the kind of verification that you'd think. Hold on, my phone is still loading. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Jennifer, I can't see your face.
Okay. That's on purpose.
Oh. All right.
At Project Hope All.
Really? At Project Hope All?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I need reading glasses to see that. Yeah. All.
So the lesson here is know your handles, right? And again, this is not, we're not throwing you under the bus. It's a gentle roll.
Fair.
Like, I'm checking in with you. Does that hurt a little bit? Are you okay? Yeah.
There's some sore spots.
It's gonna bruise, but it's not gonna leave a mark.
I've learned something today.
Good. As long as everybody learns one thing, that's fine.
I'm willing to bet our last tweet was sometime last year. Okay. I can't pull it up right now because it's not loading.
Okay, case in point here. I posted on Facebook that we're on live, right?
Yes.
And my husband liked it. He did not share it.
Oh! Michael!
I think you should text that husband right about now.
Actually, why don't you text him, have him call in, and we'll throw him under the bus gently. Okay. Say, tell him to call in at 949.
Okay, wait, let me get it.
And if you want to chirp in about your experience with nonprofits, or if you want to give your two cents about it, 949-824-5824. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Ryan Foland. I love to tweet. I'm a big tweeter out there. And then Facebook, I hate it. I think it's too confusing and makes me feel jealous and sort of as a time suck. Aww. But if you want to follow KUCI on Facebook, that is good. And you can find them. That's KUCI 889. KUCI 889.
I need to correct what I said was our handle.
It's okay. It's not like we're live on radio or anything.
So for all thousands of you that are searching right now for Think Together, it's actually Think underscore Together.
The big difference. Underscore.
But if you just did a general search, it'd take you right there.
Okay. So what's the call-in number again? 949?
949-824-5824. And we're calling Nicole's husband to ask why he liked but didn't share the Facebook post.
He's like, because you told me to, honey.
Well, see, he loves you, right? He just liked it, but you need to step the love up a game.
He didn't even give it a heart.
Not even a heart?
No, oh, what's a girl got to do for a heart?
I bet you'll have flowers when you go home, though.
You know, I hope so.
Yeah.
Should we call and do Ryan's roses?
Do you want his number?
Who wants to be Sissany?
I could do it.
Oh, yeah? Actually, let's do a fake Ryan's roses right now. Can we?
No, Michael's a good guy.
Well, of course he's going to say he's going to send flowers, but it might be funny, and then we'll...
The thing is, what I don't like about Ryan's roses, I would never pick up a number I don't know.
I am actually surprised
That's
as well.
That's the thing you don't like about Ryan's roses?
My biggest problem with Ryan's roses.
The reason I don't like it gives me extreme anxiety.
Yes. Yes. You fool, nothing's free.
Yes, this is true. If anybody ever calls you for roses, always send it to the woman that you love. And hopefully you don't love someone who you're not in a relationship with.
I'm going to just always send it to my mom.
There you go.
Who's going to argue with that?
This will age me, but that's why that whole SNL skit with the shark at the door said flowers, chocolate, candy. See, Tracy's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
This is a good point. Let's talk about feeling like maybe there's a disconnection with your target audience. From a standpoint of what you guys want, I explain things in the term of a selfish hat. It's an invisible selfish hat. It's this crazy theory I have where all three of you are wearing a hat right now. So am I, and so is our lovely photographer here who is shamelessly getting all kinds of great photos with the amazing earphones that I have, which are...
Those are nice.
These are from 1970.
Yeah.
Because these are like backup. And I think that some other KUCI DJs may have walked away with the...
It's very kind of you to wear them and not give them to us.
I have no shame. It's not like we're on camera or live. But I'd like to talk about the selfish hat, because if you realize that other people have a selfish hat on that you can't see, you can find out what's on the selfish hat by asking questions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you ask questions, you can find out what really is valuable to them. And then you give them that, you have a chance to ask for what's on your hat.
Right.
How difficult is it for you to bridge the gap with the invisible hat when it comes to millennials, which might not have the money to support you or the nonprofits, mm-hmm. but they are the army, they are the feet, they are the people that will share, because a viral post is maybe more valuable if it lands large donors down the line. So I'm curious, let's do a little popcorn. Jennifer, you took a breath first because I know you want to say something. How do you bridge the gap to reach the invisible hat of the people that you need to support your program?
First, you need to know what do you want on the invisible hat. So money is not what Project Hope Alliance wants.
And now you're talking about your invisible hat.
Yeah.
Okay, this is great. So I want you guys to describe your invisible hat. And then what is the challenge of, one, finding out what's on the other people's hat.
Right.
And it just gets down to a marketing exercise. Because you can be blasting and promoting and sponsoring, but if your posts are going in front of the wrong people, it doesn't matter. So what is the invisible hat that you're wearing right now?
So we are wearing an invisible hat that we want actual solutions and action to end the cycle of homelessness for children in America. So that means that the millennial that doesn't have cash right now, but is very innovative and is an out-of-the-box thinker that can see things from a different perspective, has sometimes more value to add than someone who can just write a singular check, even for $1 million. So you need to know what you want first in order to strategically build a media campaign to get what it is that you want. But you have to recognize, as a lawyer, I always made sure that I understood the perspectives that my jurors were coming from. What did I think they wanted? Did they want to send a message? Did they want society to look a certain way? And then if there are organic fits within each of those desired outcomes, then you make sure that you're telling those stories that organically fit with each of those desired outcomes and you're communicating them out.
Wow. If I had a mic that wasn't attached, I would drop it.
I don't even want to respond after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I'm getting the chilly willies because you're basically saying that jurors have invisible hats.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. And everybody has invisible hats. My invisible hat theory has just been verified, but not validated because everything changes. But you're looking from a lawyer perspective to jurors. You're looking from a nonprofit perspective to fans and enthusiasts. And I think that's such an important piece of the puzzle when you're coming up with this social media strategy. Because if you're out there always asking for money, but you really are looking for a millennial who is working out of the Entrepreneur Center or at the UCI Innovation because they have an app that will help you raise more money,
right,
then that's the disconnect. So there might be value if you are a nonprofit or if you are a startup to do, I'm going to make this up right now, an invisible hat audit.
Yeah.
Are you communicating in your bio? Are you communicating in your messaging that this is what we want? Because if I went, you're dealing with prejudices as well, not like
right,
color prejudices.
Right. No,
but
absolutely.
You are a nonprofit, so you want my money. Stand back.
Right.
But if you're communicating that you just want my time, or you want my, just want my like, or you want my share, that might be something of value.
Well, you want them to be as invested in ending the cycle of homelessness as you are. So you need to understand what makes them want the world to look like a world that doesn't have children being homeless.
And that's hard because sometimes it's so existential or it's far right. away, or you don't see it in Irvine, or you don't see it because you're staying out of those areas.
But so your point is that it's invisible. That's what doesn't activate you. Well, that's exactly what media does, is it eliminates the invisibility.
It's almost like if you're on Twitter, you can take a picture and you can do different stickers. And I encourage you to play with it. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So everybody has an invisible hat. So think of the invisible hat as these stickers or these little emojicons that you can drop onto it. Maybe a filter that you can put onto your Instagram or on Snapchat, a filter or a face or something. Social media gives you a platform to show what's on your invisible hat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right. How about you? What is your invisible hat? It looks really nice, by the way.
Thank you.
And it matches
with
the green.
I spent a lot of time on it. Yes. Okay. I'm all about coordination. Well, I think together we really don't believe there's a silver bullet to solving educational equity issues. The biggest thing we're looking for is partners.
Okay.
So partners that want to team up with us to solve these problems, because we really believe it is almost a civil rights issue of our time, the disparities mm-hmm. in the educational system. So we're working, you know, towards a statewide platform. So we want people to get on board with us. We don't want to handle this by ourselves, and we never claim to be saviors or want any of that. So first and foremost is a general awareness about it. How to capture someone in a short little picture or, you know, 50 character, whatever, and then how to inspire them to get involved with us, because that partnership is what's going to bring the solutions for us.
So I'm going to do a slow roll after this because mm-hmm. I'm going to give you time, but you said something which is very key. We have to be able to communicate in a short amount of time mm-hmm. what our invisible hat is. So I'm going to challenge you to all mm-hmm. come up with a tweet that exposes your invisible hat. You'll have to use hashtag invisible hat, which means you only have like 120 characters now. But I'm curious about that. I like to say, I don't care about what you do. I care about the problems you solve. And I only care about those problems if I have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I don't have that problem, then I might be able to help you with one of my friends who has that problem. But if you're telling me that I have a problem and I don't have that problem, then it's like, I feel like I'm being sold. And when you're communicating, if you can communicate that this is the civil rights, an equivalent of a civil rights, but for today's youth, maybe now I'm like, whoa, that mm-hmm. might be a problem yep. that I can associate mm-hmm. with. So, Nicole, tell us about your invisible hat, and then everybody else think about your invisible hat tweet.
Yeah, I think for us, especially being here in Orange County, I mean, we referenced this earlier, it's first getting over the fact that people don't believe that there's hunger. So we have to first get over that hurdle.
It's
an educational issue. And I remember when I first was getting introduced to Second Harvest, it'll be almost 20 years ago, the interview question was, so what can you tell me about the hunger problem in Orange County? And I went, oh, wow, I'm going to fail this interview big time. And
right.
basically my answer was, well, I'm really sorry, but most people aren't going to believe us that there's hunger. So that's the first hurdle we got to get over. So I was hired. And I thought, you know, because there was no way to research all of this before I, you know, arrived for that interview. There was no website to go check out and, you know, look up all those numbers. And so when I gave that authentic response, the director at the time, he was like, okay, I like that. She gets it. And so that's what we have to overcome first, just that belief. And I hear it all the time. People's like, really? There's people that go hungry? I say, yes. Let me go take you and show you, you know, where people are getting food and that they're lining up by, you know, a couple hundred a day at a church, you know, coming to a soup kitchen, you know, having to live in a shelter.
So you've got education as part of
education.
Education as part of it. But what is it that you want? Like, do you want,
We want to make sure people have access to food. I think
What do you want from your supporters?
From our supporters?
Like if I was able to bring in somebody like Nicole, who's filming right now. Nicole, are you ready to go live on the air? Natalie. Oh my gosh. I was just doing that.
So no, she's not.
You know what? I messed up and I apologize.
We like Natalie.
As a sincere apology. Natalie, would you like to come on the radio here?
I don't know. It might interfere with my job.
Oh, how about I take the camera and then you sit down here and then you girls are going to talk to her as though you want something from her. And then it'll be like a little popcorn quiz. Did you stop the filming?
Okay.
Oh, start the filming because I want to film this.
Natalie, I have a question. What posts are you most likely to share in your feed? Assuming you have a social media account.
Okay. Oh, we are recording again.
You get to put this on your resume now,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah. Radio experience. Yes.
All right, so what was the question?
What kind of posts are you most likely to share in your social media accounts?
Oh, I'm probably one of those people that just shares cute animal videos. I don't like to cause controversy.
Yes, but that's an issue, right? I mean, there's a bunch of people out there who do it more for just reading and you know, almost biding time.
And
scrolling through, it's fast.
And to the point that Ryan was talking about earlier, things being polarizing. So sometimes I know I have to kind of look at some things that I would like us to post on social media and really kind of deconstruct them to see if they could be politically polarizing or polarizing to a specific group in our community. And if it is, then that may not be like the lead post to go with because it's not going to be shared as much. If the goal is to educate people, then having a polarized post, even if you believe really strongly in what it says, wouldn't necessarily educate anyone if it's not getting read or shared.
Right.
So
Right.
Yeah, and I think for us, it's once you know about the problem, you should want to do something about it. So, you know, we hope that, you know, people will want to be committed to our mission and want to support us, you know, with food, funds, or time. You know, those are the three.
You have somebody right here in the hot seat. This is like the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
So you each try to convert her on what you think she might want that actually works for you. Right? What is her selfish hat? So maybe you can realize that she has a camera, so maybe she might want to come cover one of your events or something like that. So you each have 30 seconds to do a random pitch for somebody who could be your biggest supporter.
Keep putting the microphone.
Nicole and I did this last
one. My gosh.
Take it away, friend.
Isaac, no, you're first.
Tracy, you're up.
There you go.
I have 30 seconds?
Yes. 30
so,
seconds.
Natalie, tell me what you like capturing on film.
I like doing a lot of just live performances around the Orange County area.
Would you ever be interested, or do you have any experience taping kids performing?
Actually, I do. I do a once-a-year event where I film a soccer game that is for disabled children, and we do a little video that just kind of shows the Christmas spirit of coming together and helping these kids have a great Christmas.
That's wonderful. We have so many opportunities at Think Together, and we have such a need to showcase what our kids are doing because that's at the heart of our mission. I'd love to talk to you more about getting involved in that.
That would be great.
And Whoa. Time. Wow, nice. That's a tough act to follow.
You're right, friend.
Seriously, I'll give you my card.
All right, Natalie, since we have to educate the public about hunger, you know, I'm curious if you would ever be willing to do some sort of story. Maybe it would be around children and going to Think Together and filming the kids when they're
partners.
Getting the... Yeah, because we're partners. Actually filming children as they're getting their, you know, snack at the end of the day and just showing the impact that we're making. So that would be something where you could actually use your skills and experiences to benefit us in terms of educating the public.
Sounds like a lot of fun. We get to actually create a story within the video.
Yep.
Great. All right.
Tag both of us in that. Jennifer, are you going to be there at this event?
I will be there. So, Natalie, storytelling obviously is a passion of yours. And one thing that is always a challenge with the nonprofit sector is that we don't have dollars necessarily to tell stories as well as we would like to tell them. Would you ever be interested in donating your talent, which is worth a lot to us, and helping us tell the story of homeless children in Orange County?
Yes, if it's something then that I can also use on my reel, because that sounds like a very good thing to have on my resume, and just showcasing not just, oh, the flashy artsy side, but actually some humanitarian videos would be fantastic.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. I'll give you my card before.
Yeah, I was just searching in my purse for that.
Round
yeah.
of applause for Natalie for playing the Thrown Under the Bus game.
See, you, if you, nice. A little plug for Brooks Brothers, it is the only company that puts pockets inside nice. Of women's suiting the same way it puts pockets inside of men's suiting. So you can always have business cards.
Wow.
Very nice.
Well, that was fun. Look at this. Yeah. Is some, Natalie, go over there and get a business card. This is, we're making
yep,
stuff happen. You know what I heard there? A couple things. Questions. What is so important about questions? Yep. Another one of my famous sayings, at least it's maybe will become famous after today. The more you talk, the less people listen. The less you talk, the more people ask questions. And it's questions when you find out what's on the invisible hat. So I love that you started out with a question, Tracy, and it got you to find out what is going on with her. The other thing that I think is a huge takeaway, the selfish hat, and selfish in the nicest way, Natalie, was she wants it for her reel. Mm-hmm. And now you can position this, or anybody else out there, again, think of the framing. Could you come help me film this versus, so you're into film. How do you have a reel? Well, yeah. Would you like it to be better? I mean, a reel, you're always adding stuff mm-hmm. to it, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we have this one event that we need some help with. It would be great for your reel, right? Mm-hmm. It would be really, really good for your reel.
That's why it's the selfish hat.
Yes.
Well, but then we've been able to do this. So Natalie comes and she puts together this beautiful story and she has it for her reel, and then she goes to apply for grad school, and then we can offer a letter of recommendation as effectively a customer saying how wonderful it was to work with her, how thoughtful she was, how she had such great ideas. And so then she gets not only a reel, but she also gets a reference.
A reel reference.
Yes.
So,
And then what happens after that is that she's excited, so she shares this video with her friends, and that taps into a demographic and market of artists that you've been trying to reach, but they just all think that you want their money.
Right.
But they don't have their money. It's not on their selfish hat to give money away.
No, but their time. So Natalie's time, if she did that could be equivalent to a $20,000 donation. So
talent, time, treasure.
Yeah, treasure, time, talent, time, treasure. The three T's. This is, I think, very powerful because we're talking about social media strategy, and at the end of the day, it's about asking questions before going out there and creating a strategy. And I think so many people go out there and want to, quote unquote, leverage social media, and they want to have a presence on social media, but it's got to start in the roots. It's got to start with real interaction, so it's genuine and not disingenuous. And there are a lot of students here at UCI, and there are a lot of talented students. There's engineers, there's entrepreneurs, there's inventors, there's writers. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the most underutilized tools online is good content.
Absolutely.
And it will, people talk about how there's just so much more information and the data and the overload. Content is king and queen, and it always will be.
Right.
If you've read a blog that's a 300-word post and it just rocks your world, you like it, you share it because it's in your voice, and then that has legs.
Right.
UCI actually just did a study about how people are reading less books and they're becoming less educated, but they're more online.
Mm-hmm.
So I take that in a way, yes, there are maybe a lot of fat books that are intimidating, but that just leaves an opportunity for short posts that are engaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that I find because, you know, there's a lot of bloggers that I enjoy reading, and I actually look for their blogs. Like, okay, I want to see what they posted now, because I feel like I get so much value out of, you know, their thought leadership.
Now, I'm disappointed because your husband hasn't called.
Yeah,
but content is really important. So it's important to show kind of humanness, I think, through social media, but
to post something just to post something is never a good idea, I find.
Yeah, posting just to post.
For the sake of posting.
And yes, Nicole, that is the correct number for your husband, who is not calling at this point because...
Busted. Which means he's also not listening.
Maybe he's taking the girls... All right. No, maybe he's taking the girls to school.
It's 8:50, school started. Yeah.
You're sweet, though, Jen.
Okay,
I'm going to send him a text. We want you to call in now.
Now that it's ending.
So we have
he'll call right after. I tried, it was over.
I'll get him to start to talk, and I'll just, sorry, we're out of time.
You can make him sing for the last 5 minutes.
I like it. I like it. Well, we have about 5 minutes left. 5 minutes left. What would you like to share with the world? You have a UCI audience. You have an Orange County audience. What if now, instead of playing the Natalie game, we play the worldwide game? What is it to somebody out there that you want to share with some specific, maybe three specific actions that they can take? Do you want them to disingenuously like your Facebook, or do you want them to reach out and do something? What are three specific things that you can ask for as a shameless plug? And what we are going to do, speaking of social media, how many of you know about Facebook Live?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to Facebook Live this last 5 minutes, and then it will be broadcast to all of my friends out there in the world. So start to think. Everybody take a deep breath.
Wait, are we talking about things that, you know, the lawyer has to clarify? Yeah. I
love this. This is
great. Are we talking about things that we've learned that we would like your listeners to maybe think about and how they can be more impactful? Or are you asking us to just give a
both.
Shout out
I would,
to Project
I would like you to first do what you just said. Okay. And then I'd like you to give maybe one or two, maximum three, tangible things they can do to support your organization. This is the time to make your selfish hat shine. I'm going to press go live, and I'm going to say here, talking about selfish hats. And then I'll go and update it afterwards. 3, 2, 1... Hello world, this is Ryan Fulland, DJ Ginger MC, live at KUCI, and I'm here with three ladies who all have invisible hats on. Do you see them? Okay, now we're going to be explaining their invisible hats, as well as what you can do to spark sort of excitement about the cause that they're around, to admit that there is a problem, to get you one step closer to helping. Okay, so Jennifer, you're up.
My invisible hat, I want to see a world where there are no homeless children. So in America, what you can do is see the 1.3 million homeless children and students that are in our country. After you see them, you can find out how you can be there for them, whether that means that you write a letter to Congress or your senator, whether it means you volunteer to mentor a homeless student, or whether it means that you become engaged in activating funds that will allow for us to eradicate homelessness. What I would offer to you as someone who has your own why and what an invisible hat is, figure out what that is. What is it that you want to accomplish through social media? And then find out how your own story uniquely qualifies you to do it.
Wow, nice. All right, Nicole, you're up. A tough act to follow.
No kidding. All right, well, our invisible hat at Second Harvest is that we are working to end hunger in our community. There are 335,000 people at risk of going hungry, and we can all do something about it. There's no reason why any child or senior or family should be struggling with this issue. There's plenty of resources. So at Second Harvest, we hope that you would get involved in becoming a volunteer. We have many different opportunities to come to the facility, take a tour, and learn how you can get involved, whether it be volunteering at the office or helping us sort and pack food. We also have opportunities for people to host food drives, especially during the holiday season. This is a great time to get involved. Also, $1 can provide 3 meals to the people that we serve.
Wow, that's great. Let's do a golf clap for the first two. Okay. All right, Tracy, you're up.
Hello. So at Think Together, we believe in educational excellence and equity for all children. Right now, we're involved in a statewide effort to help create that, supporting schools with services that will help do that for students. We're looking for partners and fellow champions in this educational equity challenge, and so we really would love to have volunteers. We serve programs at over 400 sites across the state. We are not short of any need to have actual bodies in the classroom working directly with kids. We also would love to have you share your talent. We know, especially here at UCI, there is a ton of talents out there. We'd love to be able to showcase that for you, build that resume, and then we also want you to just share your stories about education and really reflect on what was it in your education growing up that got you to where you are now, and help us provide that for students who don't have it.
And who is going to do the videography for your next event?
Natalie!
All right, well, ladies, this is a pleasure. Zot. Check out their vodcast. All kinds of good stuff going on. You ladies are changing the world. And then, Natalie, you're going to document it.
Awesome.
All right. Well, this brings us to the end of our show. What a fun show. Did you girls have a good time?
We did.
And I'm sorry to say girls. I meant ladies.
No, it's all women.
Offended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Much
We're
respect.
All good. The older I get, the more I like that term.
I'm probably the biggest feminine in the room. Wait a minute. We have a caller coming in. Is that going to be your caller? Okay. So we'll let you answer that. I'm going to go to music. Ladies, it has been amazing.
Thank you, Ryan.
We will see you soon. I'm going to play the CD.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Get Notified. To listen to more shows, go to getnotified.kci.org.